Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren is on vacation. Willie and Chase here with you. Elijah Campbell back at the studios. And we are joined by Teron Davenport. Talking with TD.
TD.
Always great to be able to chat with him. And Teron, I got to tell you, this is really interesting how this has happened since we last chatted here. 1 week ago at this time, the story hadn't even broken yet about Shane Bowen. We had no idea that Shane Bowen was not at the game against the Vikings. And now here we are a week later with all kinds of things going down. It's an ever-changing situation. But to catch people up, if they have just tuned in and they've been working all morning, the Titans did not have any additional positive tests this morning. So that's day one. If they're clear again tomorrow, in theory, they'd be allowed to return and gather and practice on Wednesday. So some good news today, Teron.
Yeah, it's definitely some good news, and you need 2 consecutive days of no testing, no positive test, that is, to be able to consider getting back in the building. It's not a definite that they'll get back in the building on Wednesday, but pending no positive test tomorrow, they should be in good shape to do that, and the game for Sunday should be in good. We have to use the term should be.
Right, it's all in pencil.
Things could change, yeah. So things can definitely continue to swing towards the positive if there are no more positive tests. We'll put it that way.
Teron, just along the news cycle here, do you have any sense of when the league and the Titans will present the findings of whatever the NFLPA and NFL found in coming to Nashville to look through and go back through tapes and whatever to find out how they got to this point?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's supposed to be at some point today, but just like everything else, it could be tomorrow, it could be, that could change. So I know there are a couple things that I had caught wind of that I'm working to confirm, but at the same time, I'm not sure exactly what ways this team was negligent, if they were, and that's something that this report really has to unearth, and it's kind of misleading with some of the things that are being said, because it's making it seem like there's a definite account of negligence. And I think really what we need to do is allow this to unfold before the finger is just totally pointed at the Titans organization. Again, it's a pandemic, so there's no telling how it could have started. There's no telling how it spread. It's a virus, and it could spread not because of negligence. It could just spread. So there's a lot that they have to unearth and uncover, and we'll see what happens when that report comes up.
I think that's a good point. You can't. There's got to be some margin for human error, because you can be doing things the right way and still have somebody get the virus. Where you could be in trouble is if you weren't doing the things you were supposed to do to control the spread of the virus. And that brings me to Adam Schefter's report. And this was the thing I think that is where the spotlight is going to be, because Adam Schefter reported that Shane Bowen was exposed to individuals who had been exposed to the coronavirus, according to his source, which is unnamed. And that it implies that he did not report that and came to practice. And maybe Chase can fill you in on the Wall Street Journal thing that he referenced in the last hour. But to me, Teron, that's probably where the root of it is, if I had to guess. Now, you tell me what you think there.
Yeah, that is where the root of it is. And it just, okay, how can you prove that he came into contact at a certain point and he later revealed it after? Like, there's so much back and forth. I think it's really difficult. Then the other thing that there are questions about are the symptoms, having the symptoms but not reporting the symptoms. And that's another tough thing, because I know, like me personally, I'm going through, I have allergies, right? So
yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
If you have sniffles or runny nose or itchy eyes and sinus issues, are those symptoms or what? Like, how do you handle that? So there's
I think with the weather turning colder, that's going to become a big thing in the coming weeks, right? Because when the weather turns cold, that's just simply what happens normally.
Right. So that's something else that you have to consider. I guess at the same time, you can never be too careful, right? And you could definitely say, hey, listen, I'm having these issues, but you're getting tested every day. So it's just tough really to put a finger on the symptoms themselves being reported and whether or not that was reported timely. Like, that's just, how can you tell that the man had symptoms on Thursday, for example, and didn't report it until Saturday? How can you really tell?
I think that's what we'd all like to know. Now, here's another question that I have based on what happened with the Patriots. Teron, we know that Shane Bowen tested positive on Saturday. They held him back. Everybody else tested negative, and they flew to Minnesota. What is different about that than Cam Newton tests positive? The Patriots have all the rest negative, but they don't fly until today, but the game is still on. We know Kari Blasingame tested positive on Saturday, several days after this all started. Isn't it possible that even though the Patriots have not had any additional positive tests, who's to say that they couldn't have a couple down the road? They seem pretty confident that that's not the case, and the game is on tonight, but I'm a little confused as to what happened there, because no matter what, it's not exactly the same. The protocol somewhere changed, I think. At least that's my interpretation from what happened to the Patriots and what happened to the Titans.
Yeah, without a doubt. And just to add another wrench in the hole or another variable, Jordan Samuel tested positive, and he's the team that the Patriots are playing. He's one of their practice squad quarterbacks. So I think really you have to remember that this happened a week after the initial situation. And I will give the NFL respect for seeing what happened and then adjusting. A lot of people are overlooking the fact that A.J. Terrell for the Falcons tested positive, and they still went through and played their game, and neither side have had any a positive test that resulted from that. And Terrell didn't play in that game, and he tested positive on Saturday. I think what you saw this week was an adjustment, and that's good. You have to, knowing that this situation is ever evolving, you have to be able to adjust on the fly. It's just like calling a football play where coverages are changing. You have to adjust your route on the fly. And I think what the NFL did was adjust, and the Patriots, they adjusted for the procedure. They didn't fly to Kansas City. As a matter of fact, they took off already today for a game that is today. So I think that was good that they were able to push it back, pending, waiting for more negative tests to come back.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN, covers the Titans for them. I want to read a text that we got to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, because I want to see how you would answer this. If the Titans are found that they ignored protocols and are clearly at fault, the Steelers game should be deemed a forfeit and the Steelers get their original game back. That would make an example of the Titans, put the season back on track, and discourage all other franchises from skirting the rules. Now, I'm just reading that text. I'm not implying that that's exactly what has happened here. But how would you answer that? Do you think that that would be the right form of punishment if that's what the league finds?
I don't. I don't think that it would be right to have a forfeit at all. And I think there are other means by which they could punish the Titans if they were negligent. I don't see forfeiting a game. I don't think that's the move to make.
I think what's so difficult in all of this, Teron, is figuring out, okay, was it gross negligence of you think the rules are silly, so you're not going to follow them? Or was it there are so many protocols you have to follow, mistakes happen, sometimes you forget to pull your mask up or whatever. And that's where the league is in such a tough position, not only with the Titans, but throughout with every team, of trying to get everybody to understand. It just has to become second nature to you to be 6 feet apart, to pull the mask up. And that's where I don't envy them at all. And I feel like that the Titans, you're there every day, you're around this, you go through different protocols. From the reporting that I've heard, it seems like the Titans are doing their best to keep with all of this.
Yeah, without a doubt. And even going back to training camp when we were there for full practices, they were doing the necessary things. Players have their individual towels. Players have individual water bottles. If they drink Gatorade, as soon as they're done with it, it's put in a container. All those procedures are being followed. And then they're maintaining their distance from us, the media, even when we had the three of us, myself, Teresa Walker, and Eric Bachrach in Tier 2 that were able to have closer access to the players and the coaches. We still, it was enforced. Hey, you got to get back. You got to get back. And those are all things that happen. And seeing them throughout the full practice, the masks were on when necessary. And I don't personally recall any gross negligence or even just ignoring the rule to have the mask on. So that is something that I think, has continued into the season. When we were there for individual period and all of that, they continued, the PR team has continued to have us make sure that we have our distance from the players and coaches. And then I see the coaches with the mask on. Now, obviously, they'll pull them down to call a play, but for the most part, the masks are on. So I haven't seen any negligence, but at the same time, I'm not scouring through hours of practice film and everything looking for that. At the same time, it hasn't been obvious. So we'll see what happens from the report.
We're not going to see TD's mask breakdown on a whiteboard Wednesday, are we?
No. No mask breakdown. But I will have something going against the Bills and how they use their receivers, especially in man coverage, because the Titans are in 52% in man coverage and the Bills have a series of man beaters. So that's coming.
We will be looking for that. So let's talk about this game that, under the premise right now, it's game on. It's going to be played on Sunday. With the players that are currently on the COVID-19 list and assuming that they don't come off before Sunday, I mean, the Titans are going to have some work to do. They have some depth pieces. They have some practice squad pieces. But how do they fill the holes left by these players not being there?
That's going to be really tough because you're taking away the slot machine and Adam Humphries. He's the guy that opens things up for everyone else, whereas he gives them more opportunities because he's a chain mover. So that's going to be something they have to recover from. But most importantly, Jeffrey Simmons, he, for the most part, has been the defensive MVP for them. And not having him out there will be tough. He's a guy that, when you're going against a guy like Josh Allen, you have to collapse the pocket and you have to have that outside pass rush. And they're losing that with Simmons, and then Daquan Jones is off as well. So there's a lot to replace, not to mention the long snapper. That battery right there, the from the long snapper to the holder to Goskowski, as far as the relay is concerned, that's not something that you ever have to worry about. Could that be something with a new long snapper? Definitely. So there's a lot that they have to get figured out. Christian Fulton is their best nickel corner, and he's out. And now who is going to cover Cole Beasley running those choice routes underneath? And then you have, there's a lot to be adjusted for, and they are catching a Bills team that is white hot. And it's going to be a tall task for them, and they're just going to have to dial in and be extra focused. And I think really that's the way that they could adjust. They probably won't be able to play man as much, so they're going to have to zone it up. And that could be a good thing for the Titans because the Bills have just feasted on man coverage, especially with Stephon Diggs.
From the receiver standpoint, could Chester Rogers figure into this somehow?
He's probably going to be honest with you, because you know you have Cam Batson and Humphreys, like we said. And the good thing is Rogers has played before, and you know he's a guy that I think could give them help on the outside. I'm not so sure that he's seen extensive time as a slot, you know, but he could definitely factor in. He's going to have to. And one good thing, though, is you basically got a free week of recovery for A.J. Brown, you know, and that same thing will be said for Adoree Jackson. So who knows? If they could get A.J. back, that would definitely help an awful lot.
He can play the slot too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He could play the slot. He doesn't give you the same type of action that an Adam Humphreys gives, but still he is an option that you could have in the slot. He could use his big body as opposed to Humphreys' quickness, and you match him up against some of the nickel corners. One other thing to be mentioned is Levi Wallace from the Bills, one of their starters. He has an ankle sprain. So, you know, that could help them as well.
Teron, you just sort of asked the question I think is on everybody's mind, because they've been very tight-lipped with any information. But A.J. Brown, Adoree Jackson, Taylor Lewan, those three guys, it would help a lot if any of the three or all of the three could be out there on Sunday, presuming everything is on. Do you have any sense that this extra week would get them closer to getting out there? Or is there just no information out there?
There's no information, but if anything, rest and not exercising what it is that you injured, you know, not utilizing that is always a good thing for an injury. So, I mean, it is definitely a positive for them. And I know, you know, A.J. Brown has said before that it's a day-to-day improvement for him. And rest, obviously, will help that. But as far as concrete information, none whatsoever.
Teron, we hit on how good the Bills look. Within the division, we know the Texans have gone to 0-4. The Jags lose again. The Colts, who we all got a chance to see on the local game here, looked awfully good. The defense absolutely shut down the Bears. So with each passing week, the Colts, especially on the defensive end, look like a big-time threat in the division.
Yeah, without a doubt. That defense is tough. And we all said it, right, when they traded for DeForest Buckner, we said it. Wow, that's the three technique that they needed. That defense is going to be very improved. And they've not only improved, they've skyrocketed to one of the best in the NFL. And even losing Malik Hooker, that has actually been a good thing, because Julian Blackman from Utah, that guy right there, he's a football player. And he's come in and you know, he really has been a factor. They are very tough as far as Kenny Moore and Rocky Sin at corner. Linebacker-wise, I mean, obviously, Darius Leonard is one of the best. You got Justin Houston, that's a presence. I mean, at all three levels of the defense, they have playmakers, and there's a reason why they're among the top defenses. And you saw it in the Bears game. They just completely suffocated the Bears, and there was nothing they could do, even with the magic that Nick Foles typically brings. There was nothing the Bears could do against them.
So, Teron, in conclusion, thank goodness the Titans are sitting at 3-0. You know, you can make the argument that they were fortunate to win all three. I thought they deserved to win all three, but it's great that they have a little ground here to give as they deal with the fallout from all of this over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but one thing over the next couple of weeks that's going to happen is you have games against the Steelers, the Bills this week. You have the Bears. I believe there's two against the Colts, and the Ravens are in there too. So this upcoming stretch is no joke. It's a murderer's row, and they're going to have to be at peak performance as they go through it, because you could see the tables turn really quickly with what they're about to face back to back to back to back to back.
Totally agree.
You know, so.
And that's why I'm glad they're 3-0 and not 1-2 or even 2-1, you know, because they have some, they're not going to win all these games, but if they can get through it, the fact that they've got these three games banked is going to be very important down the road, because the AFC looks pretty good. You've got some teams in there that, like the Browns, all of a sudden 3-1. You know, there's it's a pretty deep conference, it looks like.
Yeah, and the Browns are on the schedule too. So
there's a
really tough stretch that they're going to face, and they're just going to have to. I mean, it's the schedule. You got to knock down what's in front of you each week, and that's what they'll look to do. But in addition to that, you know, last week and part of this week, they have another opponent in the coronavirus, and they have to knock that down too.
Teron, great stuff. We'll be covering it throughout the week, and thank you for your insight as always. Tell us about the Talking with TD podcast this week.
Yeah, for sure. We have the show coming up. We'll have Marcel Lewis-Jopp, one of the top Bills reporters. He's my teammate, ESPN NFL Nation, so we'll have him on. And then I was able to connect with a long-term disability lawyer, and I want to just talk some of the legal ramifications regarding what you know has happened with the Titans. I think that's something we should get into. So we'll talk some shop football wise, and we'll get the legal talk in too.
And I'm looking forward to the play breakdown on Wednesday on Twitter.
Yeah,
I always enjoy
coming.
That. All right, Teron, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys, take care.
All right, Teron Davenport. He is a must follow. T_Davenport_NFL. So when we come back, we'll get around the league, let you know what's happening. There's some of the normal Monday injury stories coming in, as there always are. Also, Jay Glazer reports that the Patriots have landed in Kansas City. And the tweet reads this way, game on, ... parentheses, holds breath as I say it. And I am curious, will there be any twists between now and kickoff? But right now, no sign of that. Patriots are playing tonight against the Chiefs. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren Donick and Chase.
From the Colts 26, off the right hash, shotgun snap back to Foles. Throws out of a clean pocket over the middle. It's incomplete. No, it's intercepted. Picked off by Blackman. Running to his left, out past the 20-yard line. And Nick Foles throws it away. And a turnover here is huge for the Colts, who take over leading by 13 in the fourth. Blackman picks off the football. It's his first career NFL interception.
Got to sit back and check out all the action around the league yesterday, and that was a big development. The Colts, after the stumble against the Jags in week one, which with each passing week looks more and more, what the heck happened there? The Colts have won 3 in a row impressively, and they're 3-1. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, here with you on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Chase, the Bills went to 4-0 yesterday. That's the next opponent, presumably, for the Titans. Hopefully that all shakes out.
On the schedule.
On schedule right now. We know we've got the Chiefs and the Patriots tonight, as of now, right? The Patriots have landed. Let's look at a couple other developments that happened yesterday. We just talked to Teron about the Colts, but of course, the wild game of the day was the Browns getting way ahead of the Cowboys. They led by 27.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
In the fourth quarter, Cowboys come all the way back, cut it to 3 with plenty of time left, only to have the Browns make a great play to Odell Beckham Jr. on a reverse to score. But that was a wacky, wacky game. But the end result is now you have in the AFC North Steelers 3-0, Ravens 3-1, Browns 3-1. You start doing the math, even with the extra spot available to make the playoffs, it's a crowded picture, I think, in the AFC.
It is. And just on that game for a second, if you read Dak Prescott's stat line, 41 of 58, 502 yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick, you would think, okay, they probably won that game. No, they lost by 11. That's how it worked. They ended up losing that one. But, yeah, it's a logjam right now in the AFC. That's why it's so important for the Titans to be able to play this game And while you're not going to be at 100%, you're going to have a lot of key pieces out of the lineup. You want to try and just get it in and do your best and see if you can eke out a win here at home. At least it's a home game. And Buffalo, I'll admit, I was wrong on them. I was one of those, I'm not a huge believer, but they've looked the part so far through 4 weeks, and they sit at 4-0. I'm not going to say they're definitely going to win that division, because I think New England's a lot better than people thought they were going to be as well. But we'll see what happens tonight without Cam Newton. But the AFC is certainly fun to watch, and we asked a question all offseason, okay, if it's Baltimore, Kansas City, 1-2, which team's number 3? I still don't think we have an answer to that right now because of this logjam.
We don't. Are you a believer that the Browns are going to be in this thing, in the division that they play in? Remember, the Bengals look a little better right now, and the Browns have already beaten the Bengals once.
Yeah.
But the Browns, with the Ravens and the Steelers, can the Browns end up in the picture? I think offensively. Now, they just learned that Nick Chubb is going to be out for 6 weeks. He came out of the game, and what was impressive is that the other guys ran all over the Cowboys. Now, that's one of the Cowboys' biggest issues, is they can't stop anybody. But the Browns offensively bring a lot to the table with depth.
Yeah, they do. They have Chubb was their guy, but Kareem Hunt, you know, he had a big day yesterday with 2 touchdowns. They had D'Ernest Johnson, that was another one that had just shy of 100 yards on the day. So they certainly have those horses on that side of the ball. As for Cleveland, do I believe in Cleveland? That's such a dangerous question, Willie. Because any time that you think you let yourself believe, okay, the Browns can actually be a contender, they let you down. I would say right now they are, though. I mean, they sit 3-1. It's a very competitive division with the expanded playoff. I mean, I think at least right now you're going to see more than 2 teams out of that division. I definitely think you're going to see 2 teams out of that division at the very least. And everybody thought Baltimore and Pittsburgh. But I still think the same questions remain. Can Big Ben stay healthy for the Steelers for 16 games? And can Cleveland keep this momentum going? They have a pretty significant injury now in Chubb. So can they fill in the pieces? It would appear after yesterday they can. But can Baker Mayfield stay disciplined? Because I think he's played well. He's definitely played well to start the season. The first game was it was iffy, but since then they've looked pretty good. But it's always a big if with Cleveland. Can they sustain it all?
Let's look at a couple other injuries that are coming down the pike here.
Yeah, got a few more that have been released this morning. And Chargers running back Austin Eckler, Ian Rapoport putting out, suffered what is considered a serious hamstring injury. And while no firm decision will be made until all the analysis is done, injured reserve is the likely landing spot with hope of returning later in the season. Remember, they changed the IR rules that it's a similar to baseball now, where you're not on for – we've seen this half season one the last few years, but you're not on for as long now. So you can make adjustments when it comes to IR. But we mentioned Chubb already. Austin Eckler, another key running back in the AFC. And the Chargers, you just kind of you looked at them earlier in the season and you thought, okay, maybe. And they hung tough with Tom Brady and the Bucks. The Bucks had to come back. Brady had thrown a pick six. But he throws 5 touchdowns, and they come back and they win that game 38-31. The Chargers sit at 1-3. You do wonder, you know, how hot is Anthony Lynn's seat going to be? Darren has said he thinks he's dead man walking. I tend to agree with that. I don't think that he's going to be able to save his job unless they can turn this around. But a big loss with Austin Eckler out.
That's a big loss for them. You look at 2 of the losses, they had the Chiefs right there, almost pulled it off, and they're up 24-7 yesterday against the Bucs and are in control of the game. Give them a touchdown at the end of the half. That turned everything around. I don't know, without that touchdown, can they come back and overcome it? I don't know. But so they are. It's not like they're not competitive, the Chargers, but it's what's happened to them a lot is they're just not able to win the close games at all. Now let's Let's bounce around to Houston at 0-4. You know, the first three games, you can say, well, they were playing really tough teams, really tough teams. Now they play the 0-3 Vikings, and they lose. Now, as Teron said, the Titans' schedule is going to have a stretch like that, right? So they play almost the same schedule as the Texans. So the Titans have to be prepared to be able to get through playing top teams in a balanced and deep AFC. But at 0-4, it looks really ominous for Bill O'Brien, because this was a team that was supposed to be winning right now, right? They've traded so many draft picks that if you can't get it done now, what does it look like down the road? They've sold the farm pretty much.
Traded DeAndre Hopkins. That's the farm.
But all the draft picks they have spent to get some of the guys they have, it's not like they're going to get a lot of help in the next year or two. They don't have as many picks. So they've been outscored by 46. They're 0-4. There were some people that thought they would be right in contention with the Titans and the Colts, but they've got a huge hole now.
Yeah, and I'll say this. They did have a tough start to the schedule, but if you start using that as an excuse and believing that, oh, we lost those games because they're so tough, you know, such a tough opponent, then you make losing sound okay. And that's just not the case. Yesterday, they had 2-0-3 teams, and I think we agree after seeing them play the Titans, the Vikings were a lot better than their record showed. But that's the NFL. That's the hand that you're dealt. So the Texans now sit at 0-4. Bill O'Brien is very much on the hot seat. I believe that they probably let him. I mean, they're going to play this out. I mean, he's the GM. He's everything. But if they don't make the playoffs, if there isn't a comeback, I think the Texans will have a new head coach. That's just my opinion. But they're, right now, you're just seeing, even though the opponents have been tough, they're not going out there and competing the way that you hope that they would, and sit there 0-4.
Now we've got This Is What I Know coming up in our next segment. So I want to get people energized and ready to go here. 737-1025. And we've got a really special prize this week. Yes. So I want people to pay attention. Tell us.
Yes. So a pair of tickets. Haven't used that word in a while. Tickets to see Nashville SC take on Minnesota United FC tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium. Yes, you have an opportunity to be in the building to see Nashville SC, a live sporting event, as they take on Minnesota United FC. You just have to tell us what you know coming up in a few minutes. 615-737-1025. You can call or you can text, and the best one will win those tickets to see Nashville SC. So
Moses cool. Is Moses the guy that sits in the stands? Can he win? Is he allowed to win, or is he already going to the game?
I'm not sure on that, Willie.
I'd love for him to call and see if he can.
We need Moses to call and tell
Moses
us what he knows.
That guy's pretty awesome. They've got some crazy fans. I know a lot of them would love to have a way to get to the game, even if it's not going to be full tilt. They had a draw over the weekend, right?
They did, yeah. Nil-nil draw on Saturday night, and so that was kind of the best you could. Well, not the best you could hope for, but
because they had issues, right? They had a lot of injuries,
and they have a coach. They haven't released who the player is, but they had a positive test, so they were down another guy, and they have injuries, and so the fact that you came out of that game with a point, you have to certainly feel good about that if you're Gary Smith. Would love to get the three, but you'll take it considering everything that. With the hand that you've been dealt.
And with all that we've discussed today, I am curious about the MLS's protocols.
Yep.
Of you have a positive test, but the team is still able to travel, play the game. Hopefully there's no more positive tests, but they've already had many issues with that, as we know, going back a couple of months. So here we are. When we come back, it'll be This Is What I Know time. We want you involved. We just told you. Tickets to the game tomorrow night. The soccer match, Nissan Stadium. Jump on in, 615-737-1025. Tell us what you know. That's coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Time for This Is What I Know. Got a great prize for you on this Monday. Jump on in. Don't waste any time. Try to win the tickets to see Nashville SC tomorrow night. Team's playing well, doing a nice job in their first ever year in the MLS. Very limited ability to go see this game, and you can do it if you call 615-737-1025 and tell us what you know. Chase, would you like to lead us off?
I'll lead us off. And with the tickets, this is what I know. They're going to be emailed to you. You don't have to come pick them up. There's no exchange of paper. It's all digital. So it's very, very easy. All you got to do is participate. And this is what I know at 615-737-1025. Call or text. Willie, this is what I know. Yesterday, I'm flipping through. I'm watching the football games. But as has been established on this show, I'm a huge NASCAR fan. They were racing at Talladega, so I was also paying attention to that. The race was on NBC, Channel 4 here in Nashville. So Talladega is always unpredictable. There are a lot of wrecks. They call them the big one that takes out a lot of cars. So at the finish of the race, you had to have a few different green-white checker overtime opportunities because they couldn't get around the track without wrecking. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. They're in a red flag situation about to attempt, I believe it was the second overtime. And all of a sudden, they go to break. And then Channel 4 News starts now. I'm like, huh? They start the news. And I go, is this an update? What is this? It was 5 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, I see on Twitter that they have switched the race to NBCSN. This isn't Channel 4's fault necessarily. This is NBC that they have switched over to NBCSN. And I'm going, huh? They're not going to let the race finish? And so a lot of people that are paying attention and watching it, there, where'd the race go? Wanted to see the finish. And, you know, obviously way before my time, but I'm seeing Heidi game tweets of, you know, what's of that happen. So I know this is more of a you just made the list thing, but what I know or what I want to know is why did NBC think that was a good idea? Let the race finish, then go to local news, and then go into football coverage.
So what you know is you were ticked off.
I was ticked off. I was upset.
They pulled a Heidi game.
They did, and I flipped over to NBCSN. I saw the finish of the race. Denny Hamlin gets the win, but I was like, why would you switch right at the end of the race? I know it took a minute, and it was you were over time, but, I mean, that's been a whole thing with the TV deals with NASCAR.
Did they put it on another channel?
Yeah, they moved it to NBCSN.
Well, at least you had a place to go.
The Heidi
game, there was nowhere to go.
Right. There was.
And
right.
If you're too young to know what the Heidi reference is, see Jets Raiders, 1969, something like that. NBC actually started the movie of the week or whatever, Heidi. The Jets were leading the game, and after they switched, the Raiders came back and won the game. And nobody saw it because they switched off. At that time, you couldn't put it on NBCSN.
Right.
So again, at least you had an outlet.
Again, I'm not blaming News 4. I know that they're just following orders. It's NBC that I have beef with. Of come on, let the race finish, because you know the affiliates or the partner, the TV partners were like, we want later races because it's better ratings for us. And then you're going to go and you're going to switch to news and not even let the race finish. So NBC, you just made the list is Friday, but you're on my list.
Okay. Well, wow. Melding.
That's what I know.
Things. All right. We're going to go to the phones in a moment. So 615-737-1025. Make sure you come strong with your This Is What I Know. We want participation. We want somebody to earn these tickets to the Nashville SC game tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium. This is what I know. I got two things. For all of the national takes, carving up Nick Foles and the decision to change quarterbacks after you're 3-0, which the Bears did. It's the first time anybody did that since the 1960s. it's not Nick Foles. It's the Colts D. You can't put that loss on Nick Foles yesterday. The Colts D is legit. Get used to saying that. They have put up some huge numbers. Had they been 4-0, you'd hear a lot more about it. And if they played a different, because of Chicago, there's such a big perspective of what's going on with the Bears as opposed to the Colts. The Colts defense is really, really good. And that's a theme that I think we're going to have all year. The other thing, our buddy Nate, who tweets us, a loyal listener, he inquired about an article on SaturdayDownSouth.com about, I guess, some SEC fans disappointed in Gary Danielson and a supposed bias towards Alabama. This is what I know. And I read the article. There was a lot of tweets from different people. But come on. This is the most tired old thing that has gone on for 50 years. Maybe more than 50 years. Because it never fails. This is what I know. Every national announcer will get called out. Used to be in letters 50 years ago. Then it was maybe email several years later.
Message boards.
Then message boards. Now it's Twitter and any number of outlets. But they will always get called out as being, quote, against my team. And it will happen with both teams' fan bases for the same game. Right? National announcers get this totally. Ask any of them. Every sport, every team, every announcer, every year. Bob Costas was recently speaking about this, and he has the letters, right? Why do you hate my team so much? By both fan bases from the same game. So this the narrative of Saturday Down South, I just don't get it. Gary Danielson somehow is biased towards Alabama? Honestly, I have never heard that. As I watch his coverage, Alabama's really good. Alabama's on the CBS 230 game a lot. But I assure you, Gary Danielson does not have some hidden agenda to make Alabama look better or make others look bad. This just in, Alabama doesn't need his help to look good.
No, they
so
don't.
So that whole thing, that is so... But it, whether it's Gary Danielson or Tim McCarver or Tony Romo or Kirk Herbstreit, they all get it. Why does he hate our team so much?
Right.
No. He's against us.
Here's the problem.
Why do they hate us so much? He hates us.
He's talking about the good team.
Right.
He's just talking about the good team.
That's not what they're... If anything, they want an exciting game. That's sort of the hidden thing. Like, you kind of want the other team to come back if there's a blowout. Right, you're not hoping for some team to win easily, which is what happens a lot in these Alabama games. So I stop the whole thing about so-and-so is against my team. It is just, it's a waste of hot air. It's a waste of space on social media. National announcers, this has been happening for 50 years. And it happens with, it's amazing how the same game could be viewed so differently by two different fan bases. So if you're one of those people out there that thinks somebody on the national stage has an agenda against your team, it's just not right. It's not right. It's not intentional.
I agree. Willie, you're going to have to give the speech.
Nobody wants the tickets tomorrow?
We got a texter and we got one person on hold. We need more. We need more.
All right. Well, Anthony is up. So if nobody wants it, well, Anthony's going to have it by default. But we want to tell us what you know. If you think I'm full of hot air by saying that about it, tell me. Give me what you know. 737-1025. Anthony, get it started.
No, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, fans can tend to be like that. But what I know is it's almost impossible to watch an NBA basketball game because of the fouls being called. They jump 2 foot sideways to make sure they make contact to get the foul, and they keep calling him fouled. It's just ridiculous. It's so hard to watch. You know what I mean? I'm a huge LeBron fan, but I turn it off halfway through the game sometimes with some of these fouls they call.
Well, that's an age old thing too. I do like the product right now. I'll tell you one thing I don't like related to what you're saying, Anthony.
Yeah.
I don't like in the NBA that you can challenge a foul. We go through the replay and we go slow it down. Was it a block or a charge? Was the play? They got to modify that. Maybe you get one per game, but maybe in certain things it's happening too much. The game has stopped too much for the flow of the NBA game. By the way, that was a great win by the Heat last night.
Yes, it was. Especially, there's no doubt about that. But yeah, they don't overturn them, so there's no sense in them taking the time to look at it. I mean, even if they are wrong, very seldom do you see them overturn it. But yeah, and also the media attention to the Dallas Cowboys. Can we get rid of that now? I mean, they've proven over and over again that they're not America's team.
Ooh, that's got a sting,
though.
Chase. That's got a sting.
They're my
Chase.
Team. That's okay.
Yeah, and I understand. Yeah, Chase loves them. I know, but man, I'm so sick of hearing about them, especially when every year they seem to disappoint. But I appreciate you taking my call, guys.
All right, Anthony. Thank you very much.
Love the show.
Hey, along the lines, thanks, Anthony. Along the lines of the NBA, this is another thing I know, Willie. The Greek Town Casino Hotel, which is in Detroit,
I've been there.
A better put $13,000 on the game last night between the Lakers and the Heat. He took the Heat money line and the over, which was 219.5. The payout would have been $104,000. Obviously, the Heat won. The game total was 119, so he missed it by half a point.
Oh, pain!
That is a heartbreaker.
Real life pain,
man. Oh, Greek Town.
13
All right,
grand.
Let's quickly get to Eric, who is going to give Anthony a run for his money for the Nashville SC tickets. Eric, tell us what you know.
This is what I know, gentlemen. In college and afterwards, I spent a lot of time cycling. A lot of people love to do that. I know the joys and the dangers of it, right? But this is what I know. More and more, I hear cyclers who want to be treated just like any other vehicle. They want to be able to share the road and not have people run them over. But that also means that you need to follow the same traffic rules as everybody else if you want to be treated the same, which would include not speeding right through the red lights or a four-way stop. The cars are still bigger than you. This is what I know.
Okay.
That's Eric, a good one.
I think we've all seen the bikers that will zip right through there. And I might have been guilty once or twice before in that situation. So recently, it hasn't happened, but I know what he's talking about.
We have this is what I know. To win these tickets, you actually have to tell us what you know. There's a texter that just texted tickets to the text line. You got to tell us what you know.
He knows he wants those tickets.
That's not a winner. All right. Well, time has expired, so we have to move on. Let's go.
Let's sneak Dallas in real quick.
Oh, we got Dallas? All right,
yeah,
Dallas.
Let's
jump
sneak
on
Dallas
in
real quick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well.
Tell us what you know, Dallas.
So here's the thing I know. After everything we've gone through this year, Nashville High School Hockey returns tonight at 7 o'clock at Centennial, which is huge for the boys getting back on the ice, dealing with all the precautions, and finally get some high school hockey going.
I love it.
I love it.
Now, do you play with a mask on? What are the protocols for the game itself?
So the players, no mask. You can have, I believe right now it's one parent per child allowed in. Coaches all got the masks on, and they're trying to limit everything. Everyone's got to bring their own water bottle, stuff like that. But it's been pretty good with the precautions at Centennial and both Antioch and Bellevue. So it's good to see it back on the ice, and the boys deserve it.
All right. So we've got some hockey going on. This is great.
Oh, yeah, my first game, Centennial, Page. It's Centennial versus Montgomery Bell Academy tonight. It's the season opener.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Dallas. Good stuff.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
And I believe our man J.P. Dumont is the coach of Montgomery Bell Academy.
I think that is correct.
So if this is the first game, I think this could be his coaching debut on the high school level.
Very cool.
I mean, he's been coaching kids in this area for a long time. But this is his first foray, I think, into the
now. Does
high
he have
ranks.
Paul McCann to announce him at the beginning? Because I think
that would
be
a nice touch. Somebody ought to. Well, I don't know if the protocols allow. to get Paul in there, at least maybe a recording of Paul and the coach for the NBA Big Red.
I would love it.
J.P. Dumont.
Yes.
That's still one of the greatest of all time there.
His signature.
Yeah. All right. Let's pause. We'll come back and we'll talk Big Orange as we always do Mondays at noon. Vince Ferraro will join us. Tennessee has won again, and they looked impressive. It was Missouri, but they steamrolled them. It was a no contest. We'll talk about it when we come back here on 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.